Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my guest tonight at the big table is one of the world's biggest authors, and she calls Chicago home. I'm talking about none other than Veronica Roth, who authored a Divergent series. That's Divergent, Insurgent, Allegiant, which were all made into blockbuster films. The young adult sci-fi writer is back with new work called Carve the Mark. It's a book that takes us to another galaxy, but really it's a story that defies its location. Children taken from one world, taught another, only to return. It's really about emotions, fear, pain, love, and belonging. And that's why this book's getting rave reviews. Veronica Roth grew up in Barrington, attended Northwestern University, and lives in Chicago. It's my pleasure to welcome her to the big table tonight. Veronica Roth, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This is a great book. And an amazing, I have to ask, I mean, because I've heard this in interviews, that the bones of this story started when you were a little girl. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I don't know why 12-year-old Veronica wanted to write about kidnapping, but I was a little bit of a weird, dark child, I think, probably. but I have been trying to find the right setting and the right context for this story for a really long time. So I've written multiple versions of it. Some were fantasy, some were urban fantasy. This one was sci-fi, and it was the one that worked. So a long time coming, this story.
When you say that you wrote it when you're 12 years old, I mean, how much of it is it true to the original blueprint that you did back in those days?
Almost none of it, to be honest. Yeah, when I say I wrote it, I mean, I wrote like 35 pages and then I'd give up, and then I'd write 50 pages and I'd give up, you know, so I have all of them still. It's a little fun to go back and read them sometimes, but they really bear very little resemblance except to me, I think, the kind of heart of the story. It feels similar, but that's about it.
I kind of mentioned in the intro, just the idea that this story takes place in a faraway galaxy.
Yep.
Takes place in space. It's got all the sci-fi stuff that everybody expects. But it really is a story about emotion, whether it be the current gifts or the fates and everything in between. There seems to be a connection to the emotions that we all feel, but particularly that teenagers feel, whether it be pain, anxiety, love. Wanting to belong. I mean, is that the intention when setting this story to paper?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I say about teenagers a lot is that they have excellent BS detectors. You know, like they're not here for your emotions that feel dishonest, for characters that don't feel real. Like they'll call you out on the internet with GIFs. And so really my aim is to be honest with the characters and their struggles, even if it's in a completely fictitious world where, you know, there's spaceships and special powers and all those things. So it's a focus of
mine. But I mean, not unlike Divergent. I mean, it's the same concept, dystopian Chicago replaced by, you know, the galaxy far away here. But the concept of digging in on the emotions that are involved. I mean, that seems to be what I pulled out of the book, was just this, like, one of the main characters, you know, her gift, or it's hard to explain, but the idea that, you know, pain was a big part of her life, was a big part of who she was. That seems to be almost part and parcel to what we learned from the heroine in the Divergent series about, you know, what anxiety and things like that are real emotions that are kind of attached to these heroines that are part of your stories.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's especially important now. I feel like what we're doing, I just want to say first that I love the internet in so many ways, like for the connection that it gives us to each other across space and time, and for like those like social systems you can find online. So I'm not like an anti-internet person, but I do think that people use it for good and for evil. And one of the like harmful ways that it's used is kind of a numbing thing, like a constant distraction. And really just people not delving into their emotional reality because they don't have to engage with those negative things. I feel myself doing it, too. And so
absolutely.
Through writing, I think I feel like I have a safe place because it's clearly not our world. It's not people I know. You know, there's a kind of like safe distance to really delve into those difficult and challenging parts of life.
Yeah, it is interesting because, you know, you feel that in the characters in this book. You feel that they can be, they're relatable beyond where they live or what galaxy they're from.
I hope so.
But, you know, I liked it and I really dug into it because I really did feel like I could take it out of this world and even apply it to the current situations that we're in. But what's first for you? Is it the story or is it the characters? What, as a writer, what do you start with when you start a book like Carve the Mark?
I definitely think I start with character, which is kind of inextricably tied to story because I have very specific opinions about history forming people and all. I think I explore those a lot with memory yeah. and in Divergent and in this book too. So for me, it was Akos. Started with him. He's the, you know, the first main character mm-hmm. that we meet. So it was his emotional struggle, kind of like you're pointing out, like he's taken from his family and he finds an affinity with the people who took him away, which I think is something that provokes guilt in him and a lot of fear and confusion and, you know, all these things that you experience, not just in adolescence, but throughout your entire life.
Right. Then there are the other siblings and then there's the other families. I mean, at what point do you start with the story and then add in the other characters?
Well, I think I just started with what I knew, which is that he's taken away from his home. That happens in the first 30 pages, so I feel like it's not a spoiler. So he's taken away from his home, and I just wrote up until that point. And then the real, like, difficult part started, because I'm like, well, what happens now? That's where the story kind of enters in, and where I just have to try things. So I really feel like I wrote this book, like, so many different, all the wrong ways, and then only just found the right way right before it had to be turned in.
At this stage of the game, I mean, after Divergent and all the success that you've had, I mean, is there a wrong way to write a Veronica Roth novel? I mean, I feel like, I don't know.
Write a bad one.
Yeah. How do you say, I mean, obviously, I mean, to be able, you've had experience now, you've had the, you know, the ability to create hits. Do you feel that? Do you feel that tension of trying to write the right way?
Yeah. I mean, I do. I feel the pressure. I feel all that. I mean, I think I'd have to be like a robot not to, with a book that kind of exploded unexpectedly the way that Divergent did. The question is always like, what am I going to do next? What do people expect? Like, I'm going to disappoint them. You know, I have this like constant fear. But I think the thing I try to keep in mind, which is, you know, humbling, is that just because a book is successful doesn't mean that it's excellent. And I am not trying to put down my own work, but I am saying that if you think of that as like a guarantee of quality, then you're going to be disappointed. So as a writer, you know, my goal is to keep getting better and never to think that I've arrived at some place or that my success was inevitable, because it wasn't. It was a timing thing.
Is that harder to do with successes? I mean, as a writer, I mean, I feel like we're jumping ahead, but I'm intrigued by the idea of starting new material with the world around you having such anticipation for it.
Well, I think one of the kind of skills that you try to learn the more books you write is just shutting people out for a long time, you know, until you really can't anymore. And I had to do that with Divergent, you know, just not with Divergent, but with Insurgent and Allegiant. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was just a different form of doing that. Just like, you have to write the story, because, you know, if you think about other people while you're writing it, you'll never get it done. So I just pretend they don't exist.
Author Veronica Roth in studio with us. Her new book, Carve the Mark, is out now. Of course, she's the best-selling author of the Divergent series, Divergent, Insurgent, Allegiant, The Collection. There's a lot still to talk to Chicago author Veronica Roth here at the Big Table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio at the Big Table, Chicago author Veronica Roth. She is the author of the best-selling series, the Divergent series, and of her new book, Carve the Mark, getting rave reviews, out now. Talk about your experience in writing. At 12 years old, I think about 12-year-olds, you know, maybe writing book reports or maybe writing short stories. What was it about your childhood that made you so creative?
I don't know. I mean, my mother is an artist, and she enrolled us in art classes and music and anything that we were interested in. So I think she fostered this kind of creative environment for us. And it was never, you know, don't pursue that. That's not practical. That wasn't a thing that she said. I mean, she did encourage us to be practical, but not at the expense of creativity. So I was just kind of free to do whatever I wanted. And I was definitely a child who played pretend, surprising no one. And then I had these like elaborate imaginary worlds, you know, and then when you get older, you don't play pretend anymore. It doesn't, like, that part of you kind of goes away. But I did start to channel it into writing, and we had this like very, very old Macintosh computer. Not the black and white one, but just after that, with the floppy disk drive.
Right.
And I had that in my room, and I would just write for hours and then occasionally take breaks to play SimCity 2000. So I have very vivid memories of that time.
Did you identify, even as a young person, did you identify as a writer? Were you like, I'm going to be, or this is what I want to do? Or was it just a creative pursuit?
Yeah, no, I never thought about it actually working. I mean, I didn't think it would not work. I just didn't think about it. I would love to say that it was just like this lifelong dream to get a book published, but I just didn't. That wasn't like the aim for me. It was something I really loved doing, and it wasn't until maybe college that I thought, like, oh, well, maybe I should try to get some of this published. I just, you know, I did it for me and not for the result that would come of it, but just for the love of the process itself, which I think has been an asset since all this has happened. Because if you can love the process, then you can deal with a lot of failure and rejection and all those things.
Well, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, because you are, as you said, you have to shut the people out and you have to make boundaries for you to be able to finish a book.
Yeah.
but talk about that idea of just trying to focus on being able to put out a story, something like Carve the Mark. I mean, what does it take for you to do that?
A lot of revision. So, and also, I feel cheesy saying this, but my mom always used to say, my mom, the like saint of my life, always used to say, just do the best you can. And so that was like my mantra through all of school. And then I really found myself relying on it, particularly here with Carve the Mark, because the pressure was kind of on, as we talked about earlier. But I just thought, like, okay, well, just make it as good as you can, and then you'll hit your maximum and your limit, and that's all you can do. I mean, you really, like, that's... People just have to accept that their best work is the best they can do. I mean, that sounds really obvious.
No, but I mean, there's something to be said about that. And it says people who strive for excellence in any form, how do you make sure you're doing the best you can? What are the things you put in to make sure that, yes, I'm doing my best?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question and certainly kind of difficult to answer. It requires more self-awareness than I probably have. But I think for me, it was a lot of patience and just being honest with myself. You know, I'd hit the end of a scene and I'd think, oh, I'm so tired. Like, I'm just so tired. I don't know if I can fix it. But, like, then I would think about, you know, when it's in print, having to live with it for the rest of my life, because that's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And so it's like, all right, I'm going to fix it. You know, I would find myself getting fatigued, you know, while writing the Divergent books. And, you know, most of the time I summoned the will to fix the problems I saw. But occasionally, you know, I just come up against a deadline and I'd have to let things go. And I just didn't want to do that here. It's like, no, I'm not letting a single thing go. We will get it out when it's perfect or nothing. Well, not perfect, but.
Veronica Roth is my guest at the big table tonight. Her new book, Carve the Mark, is out now. Of course, Veronica, a best-selling author of the Divergent series. Both books, the Divergent series and those books and Carve the Mark, the characters are young.
Yes.
You write in a young adult genre. What drew you to that? I mean, to set, whether it be the heroine in Divergent at 16, 17 years old, what set, is it Syra? Is it
Syra, yeah,
Syra.
Good job.
But at 16, I mean, I couldn't, there were a lot of different ways to tell time in the book.
Oh, yeah.
But the
She's
point
about
being,
17,
yeah, but
yeah,
the idea of setting these characters so young.
Well, to me, that time of life, it just has its own, like, huge drama, you know, and I don't mean, like, dramatic people. Like, I don't think that's exclusive to teenagers, but I mean, everything feels huge because it's the first time that you're exploring your adulthood and your freedom. So heartbreak is so much more intense because it's the first time you felt it. And so I gravitated toward the genre for that reason. I really loved reading when I was that age and reading about, you know, people who were experiencing like the same kind of emotional reality that I was. And then now it's sort of changed over the years. I mean, I still love the drama of adolescence, but I've met so many teenagers now, especially teenage girls. I think we are very quick to dismiss them as being like crazy or dramatic or shallow or, you know, all of those things. And really, that's not true of, like, most teenage girls. Yes, they will, like, freak out about, I don't know who, Justin Bieber or whatever, but they also will, like, read and come up with very thoughtful things to say. Like, I have seen them burst into tears from excitement and then, like, give me a letter that's super thoughtful, like, within seconds of each other. Like, it's amazing. And so now that I've met more of of these people, I'm just like, I have to write for you. Like, someone needs to speak to you. And there are so many excellent young adult books that are out there. And if I could just be one of them, that would be, you know, that's like my goal.
Well, what I love about Carve the Mark is it is a YA genre, and the characters are young. And there is drama, but the drama that you create around the characters is intense adult drama.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. I mean, so it's almost like a double dose of drama.
Right.
In the way. So there is something that does... to see how your characters at such a young age have to react to things that most of us will never see. You know, it's obviously fiction, but the idea right. that there is something pure in that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the specific story is universal in a way. You know, the more specific you get and the more real the story feels, the more people can relate to it just because we are all human and we understand and recognize humanity in other people. So, I mean... hopefully we do. That's kind of the point of fiction. But yeah, I mean, I don't think people are stop being teenagers, really. Like, if you think you are not living in middle school to a certain degree, you're lying to yourself.
Well, it's funny because you read this, and I read this as an adult, and at a certain point, the characters that we've mentioned, they don't necessarily live as teenagers to me.
No, I mean,
their age disappears.
I don't think, I mean, especially in this galaxy, they don't have like this concept of adolescence. And actually, the idea of adolescence is relatively new, like historically speaking, because, you know, people used to get married when they were teenagers.
Yeah.
But as your lifespan like expands and as people become like better off and aren't starving as much, you create this like kind of concept of adolescence. So anyway, in Carve the Mark, that's not a thing that exists. Like, they have to be adults right away, pretty much.
Yeah,
like,
and I think that's the movies might get in the way of that because those are teenage characters that you watch throughout the story and you're always sort of attracted to their physique. I mean, what they look like. In the book, your imagination takes you far away from that in the way that you're not thinking about this kid as a kid.
Yeah.
Especially what they have to deal with. So Veronica mm-hmm. Roth is my guest tonight. She is the author of Carve the Mark. She's also the best-selling author of Divergent and of course, Insurgent and Allegiant. We will continue the conversation. What I want to – we'll hit the news. We come back. I'd love to talk about your relationship with the audience. You know, you've learned so much about teenagers. Maybe you almost become an anthropologist in the way that you can tell us. So Veronica Roth, my guest tonight at the Big Table. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, Veronica Roth, Chicago author, world-renowned Chicago author. She's done Divergent, and her new book, Carve the Mark, is out now. It's interesting because Chicago has such amazing literary talent. And
yes.
And you think about you know, anyone from Sarah Paretsky to the authors that have come through here and called Chicago home to you. I mean, you live in Chicago, and a lot of people don't necessarily know that. You know, when you think about Divergent or Carve the Mark, mm-hmm. why do you stay here? What is it about Chicago that keeps you as an author in Ooh. This town?
I love it here, and if you get me started on this topic, I'll never shut up. But I've been to a lot of places. This place is special to me. It's beautiful, first of all, and I just love the people here. I mean, I think, first of all, Chicagoans love to hear about how great Chicago is,
yeah, right.
So I am not immune to that.
Yeah.
I just really love, like, there's no, like, attitude here. I feel like people just want to live here, and they're relatively good to each other. You know, like, I'm always watching people help each other shovel their cars out. and I feel like the snow is the great equalizer for us. But, you know, there's a sense of, like, just, like, regularness about being here, and I love that.
I remember this was a couple years ago. I was at Navy Pier, and it was a morning, and they were dressing up Navy Pier for, I think it was for Divergent.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. they were dressing it up. And it was funny because you look up and you're like, oh, the Ferris wheel looks like it's... They're
rusted,
making it,
yeah.
They're making it dystopian. And I remember knowing your story at that point and saying, gosh, she lives in Chicago. It must be crazy to think that they're transforming Chicago as we speak in her image, in the things that she's written about. I mean, what was it like to actually... to have the movies, we'll talk about the movies, but to have a movie actually shoot in Chicago and dress up landmarks
yeah.
after your work.
It was so incredibly sad when they moved production to Atlanta because, I mean, first of all, Atlanta does not look like Chicago.
No.
I love Atlanta, but no, it's not the same. But it was amazing when they shot Divergent here, mostly because just like how many people I met who were doing, you know, really specific kinds of work, like the big burly men who were creating the sets, like, they would be like, can you sign a book for my daughter? Like, I can't believe you are, like, on this set right now. Anyway, and then I'd go on the L, you know, and I would have my little, like, security badge or whatever, and I'd walk onto the set, and it's just, like, suddenly everything is different. You know, they put gravel everywhere. They'd cover up all the store signs and all that, and it was suddenly like entering the future, and it was very strange, and I've never felt cooler than walking on that set.
Let's talk about the movies real quick. Just I think it's interesting because your books are very descriptive, and they are very, I mean, like we talked about, they're character based. There's a lot. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. just the nature of writing, you know, a novel. I mean, you're in an area in which you have to explain where you're at.
Yeah.
Movies and scripts will take shortcuts. They will tighten the plot, they'll change the plot, they'll move things around, they'll gloss over a lot of things that you took 2 pages to.
So
talk about that relationship. How do you feel about the idea? I mean, it's obviously a positive story for have the Divergent series go on to such success in the movie realm. It's great for you. But as a writer, that transition from book to screenplay, how did that transpire?
Well, it was weird, and I never knew what to expect exactly, because just because you sell rights doesn't mean they're going to make the movie. So I was pessimistic for a really long time, because that's my official life strategy. It's just defensive pessimism. I'm like, it's not going to happen. It wasn't until they cast Kate Winslet that I was like, oh, yeah, probably going to happen. Hmm. Because, you know, you don't do that unless
you
actually...
Yeah, you don't actually... waste your time. Right.
So that was really bizarre. I try very hard not to be precious about my work, and so I was perfectly happy to see it changed as long as it served the story in its new format and its new medium. I really feel like the first movie in particular did a great job of that kind of streamlining, but without losing the kind of like heart and fun of the story. So I liked that one in particular, especially because, you know, it was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm biased. But... Yeah, so it's difficult, though, because then as the movies continued, they deviated more and more from the plot, and not always in ways that I felt like were to the benefit of the movies.
Do you get a chance to give them feedback on the scripts? Yeah, you did.
I did, but they don't have to listen to it. You know, it's like there's like 100 voices all shouting at the same time, and I'm just one of them. So, you know, it was difficult, but at the same time, like, who's going to complain if they make a movie of your book? Like, That's ridiculous. I mean, it was amazing to see.
But there's got to be some. I mean, you had such success with Divergent. That helps in the way that, you know, the next books are coming out. But there has to be some anxiety as a writer.
Oh, yeah.
To say, oh, geez, I hope they don't make, you know, off the top of my head, I can't think of what a bad movie would be. But I hope they don't make a bad movie.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is. Like, you want it to be good because, and that's a thing, like, if they change the story and it makes a good movie, it doesn't really matter, you know, like, because the book is still, you can't change the book. The book is out. So nothing that they can make it into takes away from that. But if it's not a great movie, then it's just kind of like, ugh, but why?
Veronica Roth is my guest in studio tonight here on 720 WGN. We had an author on, he's a TV writer. And he said, and he does Goliath, which just won the Golden Globe. And he was talking about how he was writing a new set of a trilogy or a novels. And he said that in Hollywood, what's happening is there's a change. There's a change in which the original screenplay is going away and the adapted screenplay is coming in.
Yeah.
If you want to get anywhere in Hollywood, write a book. That's, he said, that was the idea.
That's so weird.
And it is weird. But I think about it, and you're like, well, a lot of the successful projects that Hollywood has taken on in the last, including your work, has been adapted from books. Do you think about the relationship as you move forward with success in both areas as a writer and as, you know, having it adapted and having the rights turn into such successful franchise? When you write Carve the Mark, are you thinking about, well, this could be a movie?
No. I mean, it's not that it had never occurred to me, but I really tried not to think about it. I think because I love books. I love them for what they are. I don't care about movies as much. I think movies are cool, and I certainly love going to them, but it's just not where my real love is. So I think about the book and making the best book I can, because they seem very similar, you know, movie, because they're both ways of storytelling.
Sure.
But they're not. You know, there's things you can do in books that you can't do in movies and vice versa. So I try to just focus on what's in front of me.
It is interesting because we talked right before the news just about the relationship to your audience. I mean, as in the YA genre, you are writing stories for young adults they have responded in tremendous, tremendous fashion. You were very successful because of your audience. Mm-hmm. And you've talked to them in their spaces. I mean, you have had your own blog for years, but also a Tumblr now.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a big part. I mean, talk about that relationship with that audience and what it means to you to have almost this strange direct pipeline to young America.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's like so new that just being able to access authors on social media is bizarre to me. Like, I wrote a letter to Lois Lowry when I was a kid, I think. Yeah, maybe I didn't even think about her as a human. Like, I just thought of her book, right? But now you can access pretty much anyone. So it's good and it's bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably challenges to that, right?
Definitely. You know, being on the internet is like, it's an intense place for a lot of people. And when you do risky things with your books, then people will yell at you. And boy, did they yell at me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because of the way I ended the series. Yeah. I'm not going to say. But,
right,
you know,
right.
I think I broke some hearts, young hearts.
I will say that when we put on the, that you were coming in, one of our program directors was like, oh, I've got a question about the end. I was like, all right, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is a great point that there are pros and cons to the relationships where they can voice their opinion of what they think of your work in almost real time.
Yeah, but you just kind of learn how to deal with it. And especially because, like, what happened with Allegiant was I got all that, like, very angry reaction. But then I got one letter from this girl who had lost her father the year before. And she, I don't know, she's maybe 17, which is just like really sad. But also she was like, well, I just loved seeing death treated as like a real thing. And it meant a lot to me. And I was like, well, that just made it all worth it. Like, it's weird how that can happen. But I was just like, I just suddenly don't mind all the anger because like this one girl somewhere made her feel better. I don't know. That sounds cheesy, but it was real.
I think that a lot of authors, regardless of the genre that they work in, would long for that relationship, to have that immediate relationship and have the stories both ways. I mean, it can all be good.
Yeah, no, and also, like, when people are angry at you, it means they're enthusiastic about it. Like, they're so into it. It's so real to them that they are, like, pissed off and are going to find you on the internet. And really, like, I'm not here to complain about that. Like, I don't know. I also do a lot of school visits, and I've been to a juvenile detention center, and I find that connection really valuable, too. Like, people ask me if I'm going to write for adults ever, and really, I, you know, who knows the future, but I would be so sad to lose the connection to teachers and librarians and to people who are really, like, doing good work with young people, which I think is, like, so important. So there's a kind of
fulfilling part of
a new part I didn't think about when I was writing. I didn't think I'd go to schools or that I would like it because it's kind of an intense environment. But I do. I mean, I do.
Yeah. The question I was going to ask was, you know, this book is in the same lane as Divergent, Carve the Mark. It's, you know, and it was widely anticipated. I have to say, I mean, it's very interesting the way that the publishing company was like, here comes the next Veronica Roth. You know, your audience, that your audience has done countdowns, tons of pinned tweets. It's just kids everywhere ready I mean, how does that feel for you? I mean, the idea that there is this anticipation, does that at all stifle you creatively to say, you know what, this next one's a Western? Like, I mean, do you feel like you're kind of tied to the, I don't want to say dystopian, but the sci-fi YA genre?
No, because I think most of the time when people have big success, they go do something completely different for exactly the reason that you just described, which is like, oh God, I got to get away. And I feel ridiculous even saying her name in the same breath as anything of mine. But, you know, J.K. Rowling, for example, did Harry Potter, and then the next thing was like a little kind of cozy adult book, and then it was Galbraith and like crime. Like, she's just doing everything, which I think is totally fine. And if I were the author of Harry Potter, I probably would do the same thing. But, you know, I had much less success than that, but like still a great amount. Thanks, guys. And I just couldn't like deviate that much. I'm not interested in other kinds of stories. I love sci-fi, and I just wanted to do something I really felt a lot of joy in. So I think people find that joy in different places, but for me, it was here.
Well, it's bringing a lot of joy to the readers. Veronica Roth, the author of Carve the Mark, also the best-selling author of the Divergent series, Chicago author, grew up in Barrington. Can't thank you enough for sitting down at the big table tonight.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah.